You're tuned in to Agriculture Today. As always, glad to have you aboard. On this first segment, we want to get into new information out of the Agricultural Economics Department at K-State. It's following a theme of studying precision agricultural technologies and the decisions producers go through in adopting the newer technologies as they come down the line. Across the way, once again, is precision technology economist Terry Griffin of K-State Research and Extension. Terry, before we venture into this latest research, which you and others have put together, you very recently were a participant in the Liquid Application Technology Workshop that K-State Research and Extension put on right here on the campus. And just what was shared there and what you were hearing from farmers about that kind of technology.
Yeah, Eric, that was a good day we had on the Stanley Stout Center. We had farmers from really across Kansas. We had some from southwest Kansas, you know, extreme part. And so it wasn't just a local event. We had folks from across the state, but we had a really good day. Most of the speakers were talking about new technologies. And so they were able to, you know, hear from the folks who were behind that technology from the manufacturer.
So when you hear from producers in this kind of venue and you talk with them, obviously, is there a particular aspect of the technology that they're universally interested in, or is it all over the map, dependent upon the producer?
I think it's all over the map. Listen to different farmers. You'll see that they have different questions. You know, some are more into the mechanics of it. Some are more into agronomics. And so they have different, you know, origins that they're coming from. Mm-hmm. I guess an overlying theme is, you know, it's profitability. You know, there's not as many dollars available to invest, even with the tax incentives. Farmers are not freely spending money, and they're needing to make sure that technology that they invest in does give them a reasonable return on their investment.
Which makes perfect sense. This is a standard logical forever. Yeah. Let's get into your latest research work and crediting others that contributed to this as well. But you're looking at the degree of adoption of new precision agricultural technologies. And the latest thing you've been interested in, what you term as common bundles of technologies.
So back in the summer, I was here with you and we were talking about a study we did back in the spring. And on that one, we were focusing on precision ag technologies that were considered data intensive, the information intensive technologies, the yield monitor, variable rate application, precision soil sampling, and so forth, and how farmers are adopting those either individually or in bundles. Well, we're updating that for the automated technologies that we collectively call embodied knowledge. You know, there's a lot of technology there, but the manufacturers put that technology into the product so that the user doesn't have to really understand how GPS works. They just got to don't touch the steering wheel and a tractor drives parallel passes. And so the technologies we're looking at were automated guidance, automated section control, and light bar, the three that we, you know, put in that category of embodied knowledge. So you mentioned the liquid sprayer meeting that we recently had. Topcon had booth and exhibit, and they had a light bar there. And I was chatting with them about that, and they shared that, you know, they're still selling a considerable number of light bars every year.
So as old as the technology is.
Technology has been around since the 90s, and we've kind of seen it level off in our statistics, but farmers are still buying that technology every year. And, you know, one reason is it is cheaper than automated guidance. And the, you know, it's not just a standalone technology. Some farms are opting to put the light bar on sprayers that have automated guidance. They still want to see that row of lights.
A reassurance, if nothing else?
Maybe a reassurance, a redundant system, but both technologies were on the same machine. And honestly, that's something I had not considered when I was working on this, and that explains a lot of what we found.
And we'll get to what you discovered in just a moment, but the methodology here, you used information that's been collected by the Kansas Farm Management Association in recent years on what producers have invested in and are utilizing in the way of precision technology, right?
That's right. So the current data set, we have 545 Kansas farms who are members of Kansas Farm Management Association who provided information to us about what technologies they have. Some said we have no technology. Some said we have all of it. Some were in the middle. We have some. And the report that we're working on right now that we hope to release 1st of December goes back to the year 2000. Okay. So in the year 2000, there was relatively few automated guidance machines out there. There was virtually no automated section control, but light bar was the number one embodied knowledge technology when it came to adoption rates or being commercially available. And so each year we presented the percent of Kansas farms who had that technology. And not only that particular technology, but we also looked at it in bundles. So you may have had a light bar and automated guidance, whether they were on different machines or the same machine, we didn't ask, and saw how the bundles really evolved out of farms with individual technologies becoming farms that had bundles of precision ag technologies.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about bundles, then what are the more common combinations mm-hmm. here, if you will? And you hinted at right. one of them, but there are many other variations, are there not?
Sure. Well, and the answer, it depends, as always. In particular, it depends on the year. So last few years, the most common bundle is automated guidance with automated section control. Mm-hmm. But if we looked at it in the year 2000, probability was if you had technology, you had a light bar and only a light bar. And we've looked at the evolution of this over time. And at one point, automated guidance by itself was the most likely to have. And then automated guidance with a light bar was the most likely. But currently, we're seeing the fastest growing and the largest being that group of automated guidance, which is your auto steer and that kind of thing, with automated section control, whether that's on a planter or a sprayer, you know, where it shuts off rows or nozzles or sections of that boom.
Within this work, though, did you try to get at why producers bring on that more comprehensive bundle of technology, if you will?
Sure. Well, what we did, we looked at the probability of transitioning from nothing to something to a bundle to everything. And what we did find out was the farms who went to the bundle of automated guidance with automated section control were not likely to leave that bundle. They weren't likely to add anything to it or take anything away. That was kind of their, you know, ultimate stopping point.
They plateaued there.
And that's to say, in the future, we'll have more technology that will disrupt that balance. But today, the status quo technology we have, that's the most, let's call it the stable bundle.
There seems to be a consistent level of content once producers reach a certain point.
Sure.
And that they don't move off of that spot very easily.
No. Our results do show that farmers are, we can use the word steadfast. They're very persistent. And this analysis uses a year-over-year analysis, meaning it's a one step. So from step one to step two, it's from year 2000 to 2001, from 2001 to 2002. We're not looking at it from, let's say, 2000 to 2005, a five-year step. If we did that, it'd be more, be quicker, more dramatic. But looking at year-over-year, you know, farmers tend to move pretty slowly when it comes to technology.
Do they tend to move even more slowly when the economics are a bit strapped?
You know, and I've got a study. I keep getting the question, are precision ag technologies profitable? Again, it depends, and it depends on a few things. And the biggest thing is depends on how the farmer can make use of that technology. The better question is, who adopts precision ag? Is it the farmers who are already making more money? And that's what we think is the case.
But you're pursuing that. You want
We're
to
pursuing
confirm that.
We'll have, when those results are in at least a preliminary stage, we'll come back and record that and put that up on the website as well.
Terry, though, as you look at what you've done previously, what you've done most recently in this area of trying to parse out the decision-making factors when it comes to adopting technology, how do you hope these findings are useful?
Well, one of the things that we've found, and especially with the case of yield monitors and burl braid and precision soil sampling, is there was a logical path between going from nothing to a complete bundle of all the technologies. And in particular, there's a certain sequence that farmers would go down, and the chances were that they would abandon all precision technologies altogether. And, you know, using the assumption that technologies are useful if you know how to use them, that indicated to us that some paths lead to success, other paths lead to abandonment of technology.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Eventually, once this is published in the scientific realm, you will be likely posting this information on Ag Manager, sure. Terry.
Yeah, we're hoping to make a KFMA research article out of it.
Excellent. Well, it's great work that you continue to churn out under this umbrella out of the Agricultural Economics Department. This latest effort was a look at the farm adoption of precision agricultural technology bundles. Good work as always. Terry, thank you for letting us know what you've been doing.
Thanks, Eric.
He's a precision technology economist with K-State Research and Extension. That's Terry Griffin, our first guest on This Agriculture Today. We'll have more for you in a few moments here on the K-State Radio Network.